gonna set the stars ablaze, lit up the heavens to declare his praise. If God built the mountains and he filled the sea, God must be great, great enough for me to fully trust him. When the going gets tough, yeah, we can trust him. God is able enough to keep us standing, whatever may come our way. Our God's unfailing, from the first to the last, he's never changing. Future, present, and past, our God's amazing, and we can put our trust in him. If God freed his people from the Pharaoh, battle for Joshua down in Jericho. If God rescued Daniel from the lion's den, God must be great, really great, so then we ought to trust him. When the going gets tough, yeah, we can trust him. God is able enough to keep us standing, whatever may come our way. Our God's unfailing, from the first to the last, he's never changing. Future, present, and past, our God's amazing, and we can put our trust in him. God showed his love when Jesus died for me. Dealt with my sin, I got his guarantee. If God proved it all when Jesus rose again, God must be great, really great, so then be sure to trust him. When the going gets tough, yeah, we can trust him. God is able enough to keep us standing, whatever may come our way. Present and past, our God's amazing, and we can put our trust in him. Oh, 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 oh. Yeah, we can trust him. When the going gets tough, yeah, we can trust him. God is able enough to keep us standing, whatever may come our way.
Our way, our way, our way, our way.
Our God's unfailing, from the first to the last, he's never changing.
Welcome to everyone as they're joining our service of worship. Good to have you with us. Big good morning to Mary and David. Glad you're with us. And also to Heather, all the way from Malawi. Heather, you're a very faithful member of our congregation. So it's good to have you join us. Jen and Pete and Daniel and Sophie and Jess are in Birmingham in the garden. So I hope they're having a lovely time camping. I'm not sure Pete's all very fond of it by the sound of things, but they're having, I'm sure, a good time. And hello, of course, to John and Christine, who I'm sure are watching with them, Maria in Finland, Ian and Jill Davis all the way from Douglas Road, and Carol and David. Good that you're joining us in worship this morning. I, of course, have already done a service of worship now before this service. We had a splendid communion service in church at 9 o'clock. 27 people were there, which was definitely at the upper end of the number we thought might come. So that was very encouraging. Malcolm Beckett, good morning. Katie was one of those who joined us in our service at 9 o'clock, but Malcolm was stayed at home so he could warm the computer up so he could watch our service this morning. Of course, one of the other people not sent a message yet, quite understandably, is Julie Usher, who is waiting quietly and nervously in the wings because she is bringing us our Why I Am a Christian talk this morning. Good to see you, Julie. Welcome to Wendy and Paul all the way from Oakham. Glad you can join us this morning, and all the way from Thames Ditton, Judith and Paul. I don't know if they're grandparents for the first or another time. Judith and Paul, let me know if you are grandparents again yet, and if so, to what and what the name is. You can broadcast it on Facebook if you don't mind. It would be good to have that news. So various people coming in and joining. We have a like from Roy Smith. Thank you, Roy. You were at 9 o'clock as well, so you're going for the double this morning. We asked people last week about sending in holiday snaps, and so in a while we will have a look at a short video about that. But we also say good morning to Jeff and Jenny. Jeff played the bells for us before our 9 o'clock service for the first time this morning. Somebody said to me, I have to say, how good the bells sounded. They sounded much more tuneful. So that was exciting. Thank you to Jeff for ringing them. Welcome to Dave and Jackie. They're on for the double as well. And Paul Mackey, I guess it might actually be Judith, says still waiting for Bump. So they are not grandparents yet for another time, but will be pretty soon, I'm guessing. Christine and Malcolm, thank you. They enjoyed the service. It was good to have you with us and back in to share this service online as well. What we'll do, I think, is we'll show our holiday postcards video. So sit back and enjoy.
We're all going on a summer holiday. No more working for a week or two. Fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you. For a week or two. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true. Me and you. We're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true for me and you.
Brilliant. Well, lovely to see those holiday postcards. Hopefully we'll have some more next Sunday. Lots of comments in. Nigel Palmer saying was glad to hear the bells from his home this morning. I doubt Hillary and Wendy did manage from Giggleswick, but nevertheless. Lots of other people. Laura, good to have you with George and Spencer. And Polly, lovely to have you joining us. Obviously, you're local as well. So great to have lots of people in this morning. do send your comments in if you've got any thoughts or you want to let us know anything in our service. But otherwise, welcome to our service this morning. I am Helen Hancock. I'm a vicar at St Matthew's in Surbiton, and it's great to have you joining in worship this morning. In August, we have our sermon series, Why I Am a Christian. And I'm very pleased to say that Julie Usher, our parish administrator, has finally been persuaded that she wanted to do this talk. So it's good to, would be great to listen to her later. Let's now begin our service with our opening words of welcome and worship. God, our hope, as we gather now to worship you at a distance from one another, fill us with anticipation and prepare us by your Spirit. Strengthen us for service to those whom we haven't yet met. Prepare us to go out with your name on our lips. For Christ's sake, we ask this. Amen. We are going to sing. And first of all, we have a couple of songs this morning. The first is I Am a New Creation. Enjoyed that. I'm sure some of you didn't, but hopefully more than just me and Simon did, or Simon and I. So thank you. We are going to come now to the opportunity to ask God's forgiveness for things we've done or haven't done and how we lead our lives. And so this is one of those confessions where we think about our bodies to help us really ground what we're saying. So let us remember that God's love is great. God's grace is endless. And in the quiet, let us tell the God the things we have done wrong and ask his forgiveness. So look at your feet. Wiggle your toes, maybe. And I say on behalf of us all, Heavenly Father, we are sorry that we have not walked in your ways. Lord, have mercy. Your response, Lord, have mercy. Then take a look at your hands. I wonder how clean or dirty they are, how calloused, how fresh they are, how sanitized they are. We are sorry, God, that we have not cared for your world. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We place a finger close to our lips. We are sorry, God, for all the words we say which hurt others and you. And let's perhaps bring to mind something we've said this week that as soon as it escaped our lips, we wished we could take it back. Perhaps we saw the look of hurt or upset on someone else's face, or we just knew deep in our being that it was unkind or untrue and unnecessary. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. And then place a hand over your heart. We are sorry, God, that we have forgotten your love for us. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. We say together, may God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring you his pardon and his peace, now and forever. Amen. Now, today is the 2nd of August, which means, of course, that we are celebrating birthdays. I'm just going to make sure there are no other comments about birthdays. No, there aren't. That's fine. So we'll go back to reminding ourselves that it is, lost it. I didn't put it in. Oh, no, never mind. I don't have my brand to say that it's birthdays. Doesn't matter. It still is August birthdays. As I've said before, Woodbury people do watch our service. And I'm delighted to say that it's Michelle's birthday this week on the 20th of August. But I also have others. So a big shout out for Janet Harries, who was 95 yesterday. What an achievement. Jen is going to be a significant number with an O at the end next Sunday, the 9th, as is Helen's going to have her birthday on the 9th. I don't think she's that age either. She won't thank me for saying that. Ivan is going to be 12 on the 24th. Eleni, 7 on the 8th. Sam Powell's birthday. Miles and Catherine Stewart William, both celebrating Miles on the 1st yesterday and Catherine on the 7th. Mark Curzon's birthday is on the 6th. Maddie is going to be a significant age on the 26th of August. Mary Carter has her birthday on the 11th. Pete Lydell, not quite sure when it is, but it's an August birthday. Sarah Rowe comes at the end on the 26th. John Fleetwood on the 22nd. And as I said, Michelle from Woodbury. Lots of birthdays. There's probably some others out there, but we just don't happen to know them. So let's sing all those people happy birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Janet and Jen and Helen and Ivan and Eleni and Sam and Miles and Catherine and Mark and Maddie and Mary and Pete and Sarah and John and Michelle and anyone else. Happy birthday to you.
Perfect. A round of applause for all you birthday people in August. Always the youngest in your year. That's hard, isn't it? We are now going to move to our action song. And it's one. Oh, so I'm just going to turn the page over. No, it's not. I'm sorry. I've given Julie a real shock because I said, your talk, Julie, starts after happy birthday. So she's just recovering from that. Thank you for Simon for reminding me. And Julie, I'm going to add you to stream. So hello, Julie. Nice to see you.
Good morning.
Sorry, good morning. Sorry about that surprise change of plan. Good to have you here. I'm going to hand straight over to you. And I'm going to put up this picture and say, why don't you tell us why you are a Christian, or at least part one of that story? Thank you.
I will do. Hi there. So my story starts with my mum's story. She was left on the doorstep of an American Christian children's home in Fanling in Hong Kong. Her exact birthday isn't known. She lived in the home until she was adopted at 8. And then she arrived in Britain when she was 9, one of 4 girls adopted by a British RAF couple. And for this, she's always seen herself as blessed. She met my dad whilst working as a waitress, not in a cocktail bar, but in a Wimpy in Manchester. And it was just one of the many jobs that she had. Dad was at Manchester Poly studying architecture and was a grill chef at the weekends. We lived in a typical Manchester terrace house, a bit like Coronation Street, on the Claremont Road. And there were always lots of flatmates to help pay the mortgage. One of my earliest memories is eating with my Uncle Trevor, who would pick me up out of my cot and bring me down each morning and make me boiled eggs and soldiers. And I just remember lots of people and always having lots of attention. My brother Paul was born 18 months later, a very different personality to me, but my best buddy for so many years. And then my lovely little sister Trudy completed the family 7 years after that. When Claremont Road was compulsory purchased, we moved back down to Dad's hometown of Woking, where we lived for the rest of my childhood. Dad had not non-qualified, and with 2 young children, we weren't particularly wealthy, but our childhood was really, really happy. And they used to take us absolutely everywhere with them. We always went with them to parties and visiting friends. And if we weren't tucked up in bed after sampling the first course, I usually found a willing adult to keep me company dancing around the fire. And I always wonder why so many parties had a bonfire. We went to Goldsworth School, which was at the end of the road we were living on, the Kingsway, and both my dad and my nanny had both been there. It hasn't been a school for a while. It's now the Surrey History Centre. But mum and dad were both active on the PTA, and I have super memories of summer fairs and a Silver Jubilee party and barn dances and discos. I loved to dance and did whenever I could, and I still will do now. It was at Goldsworth when I met a special person, my friend Gilda, who knew at that time, whilst we were nudging each other for more desk space, and later cycled to secondary school together, that we would still be friends 40 years later and godmother to each other's children. Whilst at Goldsworth, I joined the Brownies. It was the third Woking and connected to Christchurch. And it was around this time that we started attending church too. I remember it to be large and imposing, for some reason rather dark. As she always did, Mum became involved helping with various rotas. And on those days, I would stay out of Sunday school to help her. We looked after the creche and we helped on the tea and coffee rota. Their creche was very different to ours because people dropped off their babies and went back over the road to the service. Sometimes the babies were simply passed down the pews and handed us to us as we walked by. And we used to have monthly family services with the Brownies, guides, cubs and scouts who would parade with their flags and pennants. And it was such a proud moment if you were picked to do that. As a child, I didn't think to ask why we had started going to church. It was years later when someone hinted it was a way to get into the best Brownie troop that Mum had set. It was actually because we had started asking questions she didn't know how to answer. The church and the church hall became quite a feature in my life because, as well as the venue for Brownies and Sunday school, it was also where I went to ballet class. My classes were run by an old ballerina with a trusty bamboo cane that was used to correct mistakes. The height of my ballet career and the answer to all my dreams was when I was given a solo as Little Miss Muffet once in a lifetime ballet show. For it only to be snatched away from me by a particular nasty case of chickenpox. I stayed on through Sunday school, and whilst in Pathfinders, Mum started the confirmation process and asked if I'd like to join her too. And we were both confirmed together in Guildford Cathedral. And that's the end of my first part.
Julie, thank you so much for that. Lovely to hear about your beginning, so to speak, and we'll hear a bit more in due course. But we'll just remove you to give you a breather. We are now going to do our action song. I spoke too soon a minute ago, but it's one of the ones that I particularly associate with school. And Julie is such a great supporter of St Matthew's Primary School in all she does. It seemed an appropriate action song. So it is going to be, we're going to sing Everywhere Around Me. Wasn't the only one walking around in circles. Julie was rocking on, I could see. So Julie, it was good to have you joining in with me there. Excellent. We are going to come now to say the creed together. We said the whole of the Apostles' Creed in church this morning, and that did feel good, I have to say. But we're going to have our shortened creed. It's the one that Ian Davis wrote for us to share together. So we're going to say these words. Let's take them at a pace where we can really hear them. I believe in God, who is bigger than time, who made the world, who knows more than I'll ever know, who loves me and all creation. Who is with me now and guides me patiently, who forgives all my failings, and whom I will be with forever. Thank you, God. So thank you indeed. We are going to come back to Julie now, and I'm going to add her, and we're going to have a bit more of her story and a few of those embarrassing photographs that we always like about why I am a Christian. Julie, take it away.
So we're in the summer season, and our childhood holidays were mainly spent with family, sometimes with mum and dad, and sometimes dropped off for a week and picked up later. We would stay in Colwyn Bay with my mum's parents and walk down to the bay to the beach hut that they rented, or trade football cards with the local kids. We went with my dad's parents to stay near Blackpool with great Auntie Gladys, who gave me my love of baking and the belief that you should always have at least two puddings after a meal. We would play on the pleasure beach and the penny slots at St Anne's Pier. We would stay with Mum and Dad's friends in Manchester in a rambling four-storey house with a revolving set of flatmates and their friends. But most importantly, a pinball machine that we were allowed to play as often as we wanted. We would visit my Auntie Margaret and cousins, who I adored, and I always came home with bags of hand-me-down clothes. Auntie Margaret was so stylish that the clothes were still at the height of fashion by the time they got to me, and they were often supplemented by the most beautiful clothes and chappals that they had brought back from Pakistan whilst visiting her husband's family. My favourite job was helping her make chapatis, and the kitchen was always full of people, noise and laughter. But 2 weeks a year, Mum and Dad would pack up our car and we would head off to France on a road trip. Dad had a friend from his time in Manchester called Jean-Jacques, and we would stay with him and his family just south of Paris. He would take me out with him on trips to visit his friends and drive like a typical Parisian and treat me to Orangina and lectures on why living in Paris was better than anywhere else in the world. He and Dad are still great friends, and he was at their 50th wedding anniversary vow renewal last year. We would then go off on tour, often through France, and sometimes into Germany and into Italy, but generally on a wine route and always camping. Dad's love of architecture meant we would often detour to visit a building he wanted to see. We visited the Pompidou Centre. We climbed the steps of Notre Dame. We got the lift up to the top of the Eiffel Tower, but we had to walk back down because the tickets were really expensive. We ate our lunch outside Reims Cathedral, and were left so flummoxed by a place I can barely say, La Corbusier's Notre Dame in Ronchamp. Back at home, I moved up to Horsell Secondary School, and I was an able student, but was much more interested in the people around me. And from there, I went on to work in college, where I did an eclectic mix of business studies and biology, and a new subject to me, classical studies, which I loved, and I'd actually go on to study for my degree. And it was on a classics trip to Greece that I flew for the first time and made friends that are still with me now. Friends at that time were starting to get driving licenses, and Woking had a fab late night train service into Waterloo. So during my late teens, we took full advantage of being able to get into London easily for concerts and late night movies. So I went to do teaching at St Mary's in Twickenham. It was a teaching college run by Vincentian priests. But unfortunately, the big reforms at the time meant I couldn't link teaching and classics. So I was offered my pick of courses and I stuck with the classics and dropped the teaching. It was a strange place. It was fun and lovely, but we had this strange dichotomy of the usual student partying and antics. And then at 5 p.m. on the Sunday, it'd be a packed college chapel. And then non-Catholics were always welcome, but you could tell who were the new ones because they were the victim of the spot to the prot game, which is where all the Catholics would sit down sharply at the end of the Lord's Prayer and the Protestant kids would be left standing, delivering their last three lines. I graduated in 92 and back at Guildford Cathedral, which was of course special because I had been confirmed there, but also I think it's William. Dad paid his donation to have a brick with his name on. We often have a look to see if we can find it. Not really sure what I wanted to do with my life, as I wasn't now a teacher. I nannied for a bit, and like Mum before me, I had lots of different jobs at the same time. I've had a varied career since, starting childcare and hospitality and payroll, before settling down at the Medical Defence Union, which is an indemnity organisation for doctors, in their marketing department. Wherever I was also a manager of teams and usually as a problem solver. After 16 years, I was made redundant 4 years ago, which gave me the opportunity to have the best job in the world here at St Matthew's. Almost coming full circle, I worked as a waitress, this time as a beef eater, when I met Lee. He was a barman while studying at Kingston Uni. We've been together 25 years this summer and I'm blessed with two of the most amazing children who rock my world, and together the three of them are my greatest loves. When I was pregnant with Evie, I started to feel the need to find a regular church, and I sampled a few in the area and came across St Matthew's. I visited one Saturday and watched busy people working together to make their church a better place. I was torn by the choir at St Andrew's, but felt oddly at home at St Matthew's. Whilst at home, we didn't pray together, and apart from Mum being disappointed that I chose to stay in bed rather than go to church in my later teen years, we didn't really discuss faith. But without realising it, Mum has led Trudy and I into a strong faith by living a life of example. When I think of the fruit of the Spirit, I think of my mum. Okay, patience wasn't always a strong trait, but she is the embodiment of all those things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. She shares what she has genuinely and generously. She works tirelessly, always giving her best. She holds herself and those around her to the highest standards, and she treats everyone with genuine equality and respect. She's shown us how we should live.
Thank you, Julie. And we'll hear the final chapter of your story in just a few moments. A few notices now, just to say, we are St Matthew Surbiton. These are my contact details if you're coming in for the first time. Then please do let yourself be known. Send me an email. Someone did just that last week and it was great to see them in church this morning. So that was very good. But otherwise, do get in touch. It would be good to know that you're with us. To tell you that we will have another 9 o'clock Holy Communion service next Sunday. But if in terms of this week, we are going to have church open on Wednesday between 10 and 12, and we are going to have a short service, a service in the middle of the day, I think it's called, at 11:45. So do please come to that if you'd like. This week and this week only, that service is going to be followed by a short piano recital for those people already in the pews. Thank you to Nigel for that. So that is happening this Wednesday. And if you are able to help by manning Wednesday mornings, then please do let me know. We just need a few people, two people each morning, just to be there and welcome and whatever. So if you think you can do that in one of the next Wednesdays in August, please do let me know. The other thing that's happening a bit differently in August is we have started, would you believe, this team YouTube channel. Woohoo, I hear you saying, across the land. That is going to be where our daily worships are found in future, and our daily worships are going to be delivered by the whole of this team clergy. So you'll still find a link on our front page of our website, but that will just take you to a YouTube channel and you'll have to just click on the most recent daily worship. But please continue to do that if it's supported you in your faith journey at the moment especially. And the final thing to say is we have a survey out to get responses on how worship's been for you in the last few months. And so please do take the time to do that. It's all online. It's very easy. We've had over 30 already, but it'd be great to hear from everyone in terms of your experience so it can guide us what we might do in the coming weeks and months for worship. So I think those are all our notices. So I'm delighted to have our Bible reading. Julie chose the opening verses of 1 Corinthians 13, and we asked Mary Edwards to read it. Mary is in the same group, in the same Bible study home group as Julie in Ruby. And so Mary is going to read this passage, which I think is particularly special to Julie. So thank you, Mary.
1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 7. If I speak in the tongues of men or angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonour others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. This is the end of the reading.
Julie, over to you.
Thank you. That reading is special for me because I read it. My mum and dad asked me to read it at their 50th wedding anniversary vow renewals last May. So, why am I a Christian? The short answer is I don't know. I can't remember when I started to have a dialogue with God. I have no pivotal moment. I just know that I have felt God's steering hand and support in my life for more years than I can remember. At the crisis points in my life, despite how awful things have felt, I have always known that I am blessed and I am loved. I'm fairly new to exploring this relationship through the structure of church, and I know that I'm only at the beginning of my journey and often wonder if I qualify to be called a Christian at all. Helen has asked me if I'd like to join this series before, and I have always avoided it because I didn't feel qualified, but mainly because the thought of sharing what has been a very private faith has always made me feel intensely uncomfortable. So why am I here this year? When Helen asked me again, it was just at the time we'd heard of the murder of George Floyd. And I started to read about what it was to be an advocate. I read about the need to step out of our comfort zone and start the difficult conversations. And the connection started to form. I could turn a blind eye, assuming it was someone else's problem because it was easier to avoid the discomfort. Or I could step out of my comfort zone and start to address my part in the situation. Of course, these connections led to an internal dialogue of validating my reluctance to share my story and justify why it was okay to do so. But the more I thought about it, the more I kept coming back to the same point. If I do not take this opportunity to speak out about the greatest injustice, what sort of Christian am I? Even, am I a Christian at all? I am biracial, but I pass as white. I have been ignored because I am young. I have been subject to lewd and inappropriate comments because I am part Chinese. I have been discriminated against, insulted, and dismissed because I am female. But at no time in my life was my life in danger because of any of these factors. We need to understand what white privilege means. We need to understand our part in the continuation of established racism. We need to acknowledge and understand how our society is geared towards those with white skin. White privilege does not mean your life isn't hard. What it means is the colour of your skin doesn't make it harder. Those of us who are white need to acknowledge that our society is set up to enable the continuation of social norms, but these norms are white norms. We need to acknowledge our part and acknowledge the microaggressions we direct towards our brothers and sisters of colour. We use phrases like, I can't be a racist, I have black friends. All lives matter. What about black on black crime? I don't notice colour. I can't be held accountable for what has happened in the past. These are just excuses not to look at the truth. They are diversions from addressing inequality. They make us feel better about ignoring what is happening. The Bible tells us, love your neighbour as yourself, and all are made equal. Do you love your neighbours? My friend and I had our first babies at the same time, and we chat and share stories. Her child is mixed race too, but unlike mine, his heritage is obvious. His father is black. We talk about the things we've taught them and the lessons they had learnt. But she has had to do something I will never have to do. I've never had to teach my eldest child not to walk with his hoodie up after dark. I have never had to teach my eldest child how to behave when, not if, but when he is stopped by the police. I've not had to teach them not to reach in their pockets for their phones because they are scared and need to call me. I've not had to explain to them that even though they have done nothing wrong, they will need to apologise, be polite, and never run. It is really easy for us to think this is overdramatic, to think this is an American problem, but it is real, it is everywhere, and we are all part of the problem. We, white people, need to start the conversation and listen, really listen to the experiences of our non-white brothers and sisters. It is not a comfortable thing to do, but it is essential to start to make a change. I'm too new to advise you in this area of what, how to do this and what the next steps are, but there's plenty of expert resources available. But we need to start the conversation. Love your neighbours as yourself. If we do not do this, can we really call ourselves Christians?
Julie, thank you so much for that. Really good to have you extend our thinking on the Black Lives Matter issue, which obviously we looked at a few weeks ago. But thank you again for sort of making that come fresh and fresh from your experience. So I'm very grateful to you. I'll take you off stream so you can relax. Thank you. Goodbye. Next week, I'm delighted to say that Vinnie Jacola is going to bring his story to us. That was going to be an interesting one, I know, just as Julie's has been interesting. So please do check that out next week. We are now going to turn to prayer. So let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Julie's story of a lifetime which has been in service to you, promoted and inspired by her mother and by friends and family. We pray for her as we pray for all those who are bringing their talks to us this month. We thank you that we have been able to meet in church to worship you this morning, but we can also meet online, and that the physical distance is minimized by our ability to join together with technology. We pray that both service streams will continue to praise and worship you and bring comfort and community to our congregations. We think of our world struggling through pandemic and through climate change, and we think especially this week, which sees the 75th anniversary of the dropping of the first atomic bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. We think how our world has moved so far from the paradise which God created for us. Almighty God, we pray for your spirit to be active in our world, helping governments and authorities to make wise decisions, and helping us as individuals to make decisions which will bring peace to our lives and our hearts and those of our nation and our world. The prayer of Reinhold Niebuhr. God, give us grace to accept with serenity the things that cannot be changed, courage to change the things which should be changed, and the wisdom to distinguish the one from the other. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time, accepting hardship as a pathway to peace, taking as Jesus did this sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, so that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next. Amen. We say the creed together, or the collect. Lord God, your Son left the riches of heaven and became poor for our sake. When we prosper, save us from pride. When we are needy, save us from despair, that we must trust in you alone, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Just looking at some of the comments, many comments thanking Julie for her talk. As Ian says, a very important talk. It was great, Julie. Thank you so much. I know it's quite a big thing to ask people, but I hope you feel you were able to tell your story. And certainly in doing that, you've inspired us. So thank you. I hope Reuben and Evie give you a big hug at the end of this and say you don't have to do any washing up or any work for the rest of the day. Tell them from me. Right, we are going to sing our hymn, which has been chosen by Julie. And I know this was one that she wasn't familiar with until she arrived at St. Matthew's Church and also at St. Matthew's School. So it's one that particularly sort of beds her down into church and school. So we are going to sing together, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.
If you leave me, I will hold your hand.
just before our final prayer of blessing, can I remind you that last week I suggested that if you've been away on a holiday or if you've done anything that you wanted to tell us about in the week, as we'd normally do in church, we could do in our service this Sunday. So I'm delighted that various people sent videos and photos. And at the end of this service, please do stay on a couple of minutes longer to watch the holiday postcards video. It can only happen next week if you provide us with the raw material. So please do drop me a photograph on WhatsApp or email or a video, short one, please, and we can compile them again and just see what our church family is doing, rejoice and celebrate in what's happening. So after our prayer of blessing, we'll have the short video. And then for those who wish to say, we'll have our service of Holy Communion. But now the blessing. The love of the Lord Jesus draw you to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen you in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill your hearts. And the blessing of God, Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and forevermore. Amen. Have a great week. These people certainly did last week.
For a week or two, fun and laughter on a summer holiday. No more worries for me or you. For a week or two, we're going where the sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true for me and you. The sun shines brightly. We're going where the sea is blue. We've seen it in the movies. Now let's see if it's true. Everybody has a summer holiday, doing things they always wanted to. So we're going on a summer holiday to make our dreams come true. For me and you.
Well, welcome back. I'm aware that some who would normally have shared in this service have, of course, been in church to share the service. But I think it's important that at least for an experimental time, we continue to have this Holy Communion for those who cannot or are not able to attend in person. We've already had the Lord's Prayer, but we haven't had a gospel reading. So I'm going to ask Simon to bring that reading for us.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Jesus feeds the 5,000. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so that they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." Jesus replied, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." "We have only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish," they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said. And he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So we come now, thank you, Simon, we come now to the peace. We say these words together. God has made us one in Christ. He has set his seal upon us, and as a pledge of what is to come, has given the Spirit to dwell in our hearts. Alleluia. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Let's offer our peace in the now traditional way, a handshake or offering the peace with someone in your household. The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. It is right. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. It is always right to give thanks and praise. God, our Creator, loving and faithful, holy and strong, you made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus, our Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. You send your Spirit to bring new life to the world and clothe us with power from on high. And so we join the angels to celebrate and sing. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Father, on the night before he died, Jesus shared a meal with his friends. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this to remember me." After the meal, Jesus took the cup of wine. He thanked you and gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood, the new promise of God's unfailing love. Do this to remember me." Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Father, as we bring this bread and wine and remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit that we who share these gifts in reality or spiritually may be fed by Christ's body and his blood. Pour out your Spirit on us that we may love one another, work for the healing of the earth, and share the good news of Jesus as we wait for his coming in glory. For honor and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus, your Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Every time we break this bread, we proclaim the Lord's death. Until he comes. We say this prayer of spiritual communion together. Thanks be to you, Lord Jesus Christ, for all the benefits you have given me, for all the pains and insults you have borne for me. Since I cannot now receive you sacramentally, I ask you to come spiritually into my heart. O most merciful Redeemer, friend and brother, may I know you more clearly, love you more dearly, and follow you more nearly, day by day. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you.
The body of Christ.
Amen. Drink this in remembrance that Christ died for you and be thankful.
the blood of Christ.
Amen. We say together, God of our pilgrimage, you have led us to the living water. Refresh and sustain us as we go forward on our journey. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And let's say the grace to one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.